May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. About 9 months ago or so, I was sitting with a friend at a restaurant who was going through some trouble for the past year or so in his life. You know, a breakup, vocational troubles, things like that, and sort of living in a place where he feels he should be happy but isn't too happy. And, you know, I was just sitting there being a friend with him, but he said this interesting thing, philosophizing about where he was. He said, someone once told me, when my life's a mess, just clean up your room. When your life's a mess, just clean up your room. And he meant that both literally and metaphorically. At least when I was reading between the lines, I felt that's really what he meant. He meant literally, if your life feels in shambles, you ought to tidy up your house, you know, clean up your room, and maybe that'll make you feel better and get through things. But I think he also meant, you know, do some work on yourself, clean up the mess inside of yourself, get it together, you know. And I get what he's saying, but I think that that kind of attitude has only temporary results, meaning it doesn't have a lasting effect. You might see that that helps therapeutically, both the cleaning up your literal room and cleaning up your metaphorical room. It might help for a little while, you know, it might help for a week or a month or a year or even a few years. But depending on yourself to clean up your room, as it were, doesn't always have a lasting effect. And so I said back to him, I find it difficult to clean up my room, quote unquote, by myself. I need a little help. And he was silent. It really spoke to him. He got what I was saying. I cut through the garbage of this sort of pop wisdom by saying, when I find it difficult to clean up my room by myself, I need a little help. And we had a very interesting conversation about the necessity for help. And I ended the conversation, by the way, by saying, because he's not a Christian, I said, you know, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm actually talking about Jesus. Even though I didn't talk about Jesus the whole time, I said, I want you to know, because you know I'm a priest, that, yes, I'm talking about Jesus. But I'm also talking about other people. You know, we need help from others, family, friends, AA sponsors, whatever. You know, we need some help in order to really clean up the mess of our lives. And I'm telling this story because it relates to the short prophetic book, Haggai. How often does that appear in church on a Sunday in the Revised Common Lectionary? It's a 2-chapter book of the Old Testament. You know, I don't even know if it's going to be appearing again for another 3 years. I've been having a lot of fun here preaching from the Old Testament. I don't always do that, but I've been on a kick, you know. Sometimes I get in these kicks. I've been talking about Isaiah and Lamentations, and now Haggai, which is on the same trajectory. Just by way of background, remember when I was talking about Isaiah, that is pre-exilic Judea, meaning before they were taken into captivity into Babylon, before the destruction of Jerusalem and Judea, and during the mess. But this, Haggai, is post-exile. Babylon itself was taken into captivity by Persia, and Cyrus, the great king of Persia, allowed the Judeans to go back to Jerusalem and clean up their mess, to restore their great city, and to, as a matter of fact, rebuild the temple, which was the dwelling place of God on earth. But the occasion for the book of Haggai is several years later, after they've returned, and the remnant is back in Israel, and they are sitting on their hands, they're twiddling their thumbs, they're basically procrastinating. You know, I mean, if you have a mess in your house, how often do you procrastinate? You know, I taught college English, and that was a major topic, was procrastination. You have this thing lingering that you know you need to get done and you ought to get done, but you wait till the last minute. And that's what's happening here, is they know they ought to rebuild the temple. As a matter of fact, they started to. You know, have you ever seen a house that the foundation is laid and maybe there are some sticks? But it's just incomplete. We saw a lot of that post-2008. That's what's happening here with the the temple. It's kind of like one of those houses where the cement foundation is laid and maybe there are some 2x4s standing up, but they're not finishing it. And so that's why the prophet Haggai comes, is to help them finish this project, to give them some words to stir them up, but not just tough love, but some kind words and some ideas about God's work in this process. But he says to them about the temple, he says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing?" I mean, this incredible temple that's been destroyed and they've tried to rebuild is just in shambles. It's a mess. The dwelling place of God is incomplete and they can't get it together. They need some help. And this made me think of two television programs that are on right now about hoarding. Have you seen Hoarders or Hoarding Buried Alive? TLC has Hoarding Buried Alive, which is a little more mundane and everyday. It's easier to watch. You know, usually the thing gets accomplished. A&E's Hoarders is just raw. I mean, it's like documentary. There are always roaches, and it's harder to watch. It's much more cinematic and emotional. But basically, I've noticed something. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? People who hoard. And they're literally buried alive, you know? I mean, like as the one show says, and they can't get it done. No matter how hard they try, they can't clean up the mess. It flies in the face of what my friend was saying, you know, because it's impossible for them for a variety of reasons. And usually there's one or two or three inciting incidents that's happened in their life, a death of a loved one or some illness or something like that that happened several years ago that's caused this to bubble up in them because they weren't hoarders in their early life. And then this mess happens. And usually there are some loved ones in their life, family members, children often, but maybe friends who really want them to clean up the mess. And what happens is they come in and they lay it on thick. You know, they condemn them and they try to tell them, clean up your room. Just as, I mean, the children are now telling the parents to clean up their room. And it doesn't work. It never works. There's this one episode where this woman, Anna, says, "I wanted their help, but I didn't want their condemnation. Threats don't help because I don't respond to them." I mean, how about you? Does that not resonate with you? Maybe you're not a hoarder, but that kind of attitude probably doesn't work with you. When there's something that needs to get done, threats and condemnation don't work. I mean, at least in terms of like finally cleaning up the house and keeping that way. What does work, though, I've noticed, is the rare occasion when they often bring in two experts. One is some sort of therapist, usually a psychiatrist, and an organization expert. And some of them are really good, some of them are not, but the ones that are really good, the organization experts and the therapists, and some of the family members, the ones who come in and they hear no, see no, speak no evil. You know what I mean? They walk into the house and they accept the truth of it, but don't judge it. They just help them clean up the mess. And they sit there with them as they're crying and hold their hand and maybe even cry with them and tell them that they love them and they'll be there with them. And those rare occasions, the house gets cleaned up and stays that way. There was this one I was watching on Hoarders where this guy, Doug, who has amnesia. As a matter of fact, he had an ATV accident and lost all his memory. That's the inciting incident. And then he became a hoarder. And it is the worst house I've ever seen. No running water, no electricity in the South like we are where it's humid. Lizards, roaches, spiders, all kinds of bugs, raw sewage, disgusting. And this guy, Corey, who's an organization expert, comes and he had a completely different approach than I've ever seen on watching episodes and episodes of these shows. He spent the night in the house. He slept on Doug's mattress while lizards were crawling around and roaches were crawling around and massive spiders. He went out with him at night because Doug's basically a vagrant and helped him collect cans and lottery tickets and did it with him and didn't judge it. And he slept in the house. I mean, it was agonizing for him. But that's the kind of love that works, not the threats and condemnations. That's the kind of help I'm talking about that finally gets someone like Doug to trust someone like Corey to help him to clean up his house. Well, let me get back to Haggai, because I'm always really just talking about the Bible, lest you think it's all TV and rock and roll. Haggai says for the Lord, yet now take courage. Three times he says, take courage. Work, for I am with you, the Lord says. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. The presence of the Lord is there with them to allow the people of Jerusalem to finally rebuild the temple, to clean up this mess. It's not just who left among you has saw this house in its former glory, you know, clean it up. The passage also says, yet now take courage. Three times take courage. Work, for I am with you. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. And then there are four sentences at the end of that passage that start with, I will. I will. I will. I will. The Lord is there to help them. And finally, the temple was rebuilt because the spirit of the Lord was amongst them. And that was the comfortable words that Haggai came to tell them that they need some outside help. They need some intervention. And there's no need to fear as a result. You know, basically, procrastination is a symptom of fear, isn't it? If you think about it. Yet take courage, because I am with you. My spirit abides among you. Now, there is a song that speaks to this, and it was originally written by the Beatles, yet was performed magnificent, better than ever, by the Beatles, by Joe Cocker. Do you know what I'm talking about? It was on the, it was a theme song to the Wonder Years back in the 80s and 90s, with a little help from my friends. And he's not, they're not talking about drugs. Whatever you've heard, it's not a song about drugs. I mean, this was early, this is the Beatles when they were innocent. Get high, meant high emotionally. I really think that this is a song about friendship. The line that keeps being repeated is, I get by with a little help from my friends. Go watch online Joe Cocker singing this song at Woodstock in 1969. He introduces it by saying the title just about puts it all in focus. It's called, and he says this with his accent, with a little help from me, friends. Remember it, he says. And he's right. It puts it all into focus, that it cannot depend entirely on us, that we really need not only a little help, but a lot of help from our friends. And, you know, what is it for you? Like I said, you're probably not a hoarder, though you might be. In some way. And usually when someone's a hoarder, what it is an outward manifestation of what's going on inside. You know, most of us bottle it up, but with hoarders, you can see the evidence clearly outside. You know, what is it for you where you just can't really clean up the mess? You can't really clean up the room on your own? What is it for you where you need some help, a little help from your friends? Know that we all have a Corey. Remember the guy who spent the night in Doug's house? We all have a Corey. Know that God is your friend and your helper, and the Spirit is with you, and Jesus is your ultimate friend. And as a matter of fact, the true and perfect temple. I mean, they rebuilt the temple, but remember what Jesus said. This temple will be destroyed, and I will raise it in 3 days. And he was talking about himself. That was just a shadow of what Jesus is, the ultimate place or person you can come to worship God and ask for help. So you only need to come to him and ask for help. Surrender to that. Ask for his mercy. And you might find that God will send you someone like Corey or those family members who sit with you and put their arm around you and cry with you and not judge you. And I'll just say, I hope you can be that person for someone else too, because it's probably really difficult for them to just clean up their room. As you are seated, let us pray. Almighty God, I just cry to you, help, but also thanks for sending folks like Haggai and Corey, but ultimately your son, Jesus Christ. Help us to clean our room, however that takes shape, by your mercy. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.